From the high ground of Texas, it's Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour. From Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or management-controlled muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, Lieutenant Governor Patrick held a press conference to talk about spending, tax cuts, and more in the upcoming legislative session. We'll look at the issue and a surprising component of it related to possible tax cuts or maybe not. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. If you need drug and alcohol testing, they're your go-to firm, and you truckers and fleet owners, you need to be dealing with them as your partner, dealing with DOT testing regs. Reach the best in compliance at AlliedCompliance.com. Sherry Sylvester published a piece today at TexasPolicy.com, the Texas Public Policy Foundation, that just, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, is a perfect follow-up to yesterday's show where I spent something I don't normally do, almost an entire show on one subject, and that's DEI, this diversity, equity, and inclusion, and CRT and the rest of it on our public university campuses. And I want to, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Texas Cowboys Christmas Bowl. Kelly Stovall will join us for that. Get your tickets to the big listener trip by charter bus from Lubbock so you don't have to spend the night. You don't have to drive. We're going to get it all done Friday, December 16th. You need to get the tickets in. Get your orders in. Click on the ticket link at PrattOnTexas.com. For those of you in the Abilene area, there's a drive-yourself option. It'll include dinner with us. We'll have a group dinner at Bell's in Abilene. Then we're going to have a little history talking tour at Pioneer Hall. And then, of course, the ball with Jody Nix and the Texas Cowboys, sponsored in part by Hart Heating and AC and Carl Tepper Commercial Real Estate. I know many of you entered to win the tickets provided by one of our Wichita Falls listeners. So generous of her to make these tickets available. We did have the drawing today, and it was a very nice lady who's very excited to go. Her name is Jo. She lives in Lubbock. I've already talked to her, so if you were another Jo who entered for those tickets and you didn't talk to me on the phone this morning, it isn't you. So that means get over to the ticket page and get your tickets purchased right away. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a podcast of today's show. That's a recording of the show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. All right, my friends, Clay County's embattled and indicted tax collector, a tax assessor collector, has resigned. And this in Texoma, in the Wichita Falls area, Clay County. We have good friends there, good listeners. The tax assessor collector, Maribel Longoria, has been indicted on a charge of embezzlement back in September, and she resigned. County judge telling everybody publicly, look, the office will be closed because we've got to approve the new person that's going to take over his bond to operate, and they think it'll be open on Monday, the 5th of December. Huge set of news. I've got to get through this. I've got so much in the stack today. Prepare to listen fast. This one's making all the media because the video's amazing. A giant Flying J truck stop on I-10 in San Antonio went up in flames. They had a kitchen fire in the Denny's inside of there. And, oh my gosh, wind fueled the fire and grease in the kitchen. Everybody got out. Big, easy building to get out of, but they were letting it burn out. It blamed the, got near fuel lines, burned near some fuel lines, and reached a fire truck, caused some damage to a fire truck. I guess there were a lot of winds. All the big rigs got out, about 60 big rigs, but it was a big fire. The video seems to be showing up in all the media today. And it sounds like I'm doing nothing but a San Antonio release, but news show, but I'm not. This came from San Antonio teenager. This is out of New Braunfels via the police department's Facebook page. They've arrested him on all kinds of charges, including driving while intoxicated. Yesterday evening, he was going fast, couldn't navigate a turn, and crashed through the plaza, which is a big downtown thing in New Braunfels, and crashed into the New Braunfels Utilities building, damaging that building. It's a 17-year-old from San Antonio. He fled the scene on foot, but they got him. And how about this? Terrible story in the northwest side of San Antonio about 2:30 a.m. A man was asleep. Somebody came by the house and did a drive-by shooting into the house. One of the bullets struck him in the back, and he was dead. Interestingly, though, they reported it to the Express News. The house next door was recently targeted in another drive-by, but police do not know if the incidents are related. You think they might be? Uh-huh. And a home blew up in Tarrant County today in a neighborhood, critically injured a man there in West Forth Village. They don't know if it was gas. They assume it was. About 7:30 this morning, nothing left. And a neighbor said, I saw the house was gone, not burning, just gone. There's a man standing in the middle of the house screaming. So this man, being a true Texan, worked his way all the way through, started talking to him, got him out. Then they got him to hospital. He's got serious burns. Let's hope he lives. Dallas police officer's been fired after video shows they did a little chase of some person who ran, and then they stopped the chase because it wasn't over anything felony related. It was driving out of a parking lot without the headlights on. And so they followed policy, didn't continue the chase, but after they turned off their lights and siren, the cops, this person crashed. Their own video shows they just drove by and didn't render assistance, which I get it. You say, well, that person didn't deserve it. No, but that's their responsibility, and it actually is pretty bad. They fired a senior corporal, Leonard Anderson, and they've suspended for 30 days Darian Robertson, another officer who was training with him. And an Abilene man is accused of setting fire to a duplex for insurance money. Benjamin Hulsey was indicted by a Taylor County grand jury for arson, according to a report at KRBC. $1 million stolen from USAA customer bank accounts. And this is the giant USAA headquartered in San Antonio. This is out of Shreveport, Louisiana. One of the women, they claim, used her position at Teleperformance, a big multinational company that handles inbound calls from USAA members, to get access to customers' bank account information, then sold the information to this other woman and others, and then they pilfered money out. Both the women that have been arrested are only 21 years old. Like she was spending money big, paid $639 for a new house, cash. People are just stupid. Oh, you're not going to get caught with that. Oh, no, nobody's going to notice the 21-year-old call center worker that all of a sudden's got all this money. And there's a story on defense of a third party out of Dallas that needs discussion on another show, because we don't have time today. For all of you who carry a weapon and understand about protecting a third party, a man's been charged for murder for doing that. But it's the little details that seem to matter. We'll try to get to that in coming days. All right, my friends, today in Texas history, this is the day the lovely and tiny Mary Martin was born in Weatherford, 1913, on December 1st. Of course, she got to fame in Cole Porter's production, Leave It to Me, on Broadway, and then her version of My Heart Belongs to Daddy was the big hit early on, and she did it all. Peter Pan, the star of Peter Pan. She died in 1990. It's buried at East Greenwood Cemetery in Weatherford. This is also the day in 1880 that the Katy, the Missouri Pacific Railway, the Missouri-Kansas-Texas Railroad, known as the Katy, extended its line into Texas, and it's the day in 1964, that the Houston Colt 45s changed their name to the Astros. Our look at Texas history each day brought to us by our good friends at USA Investigations. If you need security, employment background checks, surveillance, all kinds of official interviews and statements, affidavits, that kind of thing, criminal or civil investigations, get in touch with them. Learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. They sponsor our look at Texas history each day. Oh, another, there's a huge trial out of Webb County of this Border Patrol agent accused of killing prostitutes. The trial was moved to San Antonio and is underway, and the second chair district attorney quit the DA's office this morning and didn't show up at court. Weird things happening there. Back in a moment.
Pratt's back in a moment. After we hear from those who pay the bills.
Is literally like stepping back 100, 120 years in time. When you're inside the building, you would not know you were not standing there in 1920. It is just fantastic. The music is fantastic. It's at a reasonable level.
That's Lubbock listener Seth Kinney talking about the famous Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball. Established in 1885 and running strong today, the ball is recognized as a Texas historical event and draws national and international visitors annually, so that you have a chance to experience this almost magical step back in time and authentic experience of Texas history, I'm making it easy with bus, transport, dinner, and more from Lubbock on Friday afternoon, December 16th, and returning a bit after midnight. Some seats are available, so act now by visiting the ticket link at prideontexas.com. You'll find full details of the trip at the ticket page. There's no next year for the convenient bus trip together. Get your tickets now at the ticket link at prideontexas.com. Sponsored by Hart Heating and AC and Carl Tepper Commercial Real Estate.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Working to save Texas from the uninformed and the left. It's your voice of Texas, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, our Lone Star story of the day relating to the Texas legislative session upcoming in January. The Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick held a press conference. The people over at the Texas Scorecard are a little upset. They said he threw cold water on Governor Abbott's push for using half of the $27 billion projected budget surplus for property tax relief, saying it would bust the state's spending limit and set a dangerous precedent. He did talk about some other things that needed to be done. Let's see the piece in the Statesman today by Hogan Gore. Four things to know about Patrick's plans for the legislature. $27 billion surplus, increase in spending power coming. Property taxes top of mind. The lieutenant governor's pitching pretty basic stuff that really doesn't help a lot of folks, including commercial owners and people paying rent, raising the homestead property tax exemption from $40,000 up to $60,000, and expanding personal property exemptions for business. That's on personal property. Not much. It's not very impressive there. He talked about continuing to spend a ton of money on the border, and he talked about the electric grid. Brad Johnson at the Texans, the only one in the media that really did a very good job of explaining this whole thing that's got people upset about the budget limit, the spending limit, which they bust all the time. And I agree, by the way, I agree with the people at Texans Scorecard about that. They bust the spending limit all the time. But anyway, here's the point. And I think if you'll find out again why Pratt is the political swami, and there's a lot of jealousy out there. These people, just other people that try to do this, don't know how it works. And if you'll go back and listen way back in the spring with my in-person interview down in South Texas with our comptroller, I was talking about the effect of inflation on all this extra revenue way before other people were. It hadn't been until midsummer to late summer that you began to hear people talking about the effect on the budget. Well, if you look at what the inflation rate's been and what the projected surplus is, and that may grow, it looks like about half of that surplus is going to be eaten up by inflationary costs, which means there's no money to do tax cuts and stuff like that. Let me explain just using Brad Johnson's piece at the Texan.news. Patrick made clear the legislature will not spend all of it, the surplus, choosing to leave some aside for a rainy day. Quote, I think California had the largest budget surplus, he said, comparing Texas to its West Coast rival, but they weren't smart and spent all the money and now have a deficit. You never spend all the money and we won't. Well, the problem is it's our money and you need to keep, we have a rainy day fund, Lieutenant Governor. The other stuff is surplus and it needs to go back in the people's pockets to help grow the economy. Nevertheless, right before Patrick's press conference, the Legislative Budget Board set the population times inflation spending cap for the 2024-25 biennium general revenue fund, the GR money, at 12.33%. That means the legislature may appropriate roughly $12.5 billion in more general revenue spending than in the last budget without busting the spending cap. That's less than half the projected surplus, which may grow higher. The cap leaves the state spending cap with an estimated tranche of $14.5 billion that cannot be appropriated under it. And this is central to this whole issue. Now, Patrick listed all kinds of other priorities. A lot of them are very good and all that. Some of them are pretty weak. And he even pointed out, look, this isn't detail. The members are going to file the bills, not me. But it tells you where leadership, who really has control over what gets through and gets a vote or not, is thinking. And so it's very important what the speaker says. It's very important what the lieutenant governor said. I think he said we need to do more. Patrick said we need more than just the homestead exemption, whether it's a one-time dividend to taxpayers. It's a little difficult to do constitutionally, but we need a robust property tax cut for everyone in the state. And that's the problem with this, the homestead exemption. It's great, but what we have now is a system where there are no protections and stuff that doesn't have a homestead exemption, almost none. And that's raised the cost of rents for business and all the tons of people who rent homes massively. It's really been a burden on the property owners trying to provide rental housing to people. And I don't think that's the way to go. What's interesting is you're trying to budget over $100 billion. Well, if inflation comes in, you don't just have inflation. You have specific inflation in certain industries, right? You've had fuel costs. You've got other things, road building, where it's hard to hire people. You're not in recession yet. Maybe that'll happen by the time they do the budget. I doubt it'll be that deep because Texas is doing so well in the state from oil and gas. And those shortages are going to continue with what's happening around the world, or the prices are going to stay up. Really no shortages, just in certain places. The problem you've got here is that it looks to me as if the amount the legislative budget board, it looks to me like the speaker, and remember the LBBs, you got the lieutenant governor, speaker, and some other people on it. It looks to me as if, you know, they control it. It looks to me as if the speaker didn't want to do tax cuts. He kind of made that clear talking to a bunch of people that are all in the business of, you know, making money off building highways and roads a few weeks ago. It looks to me like they've set this up so that the governor can't deliver on the big tax cuts. Now, you say, well, that's pretty, why are they doing this to the governor? Look, that's the governor's fault. This governor is 100% inept at working with the legislature. Every darn one of them from every side, Rhino, you name it, that I've talked to since Abbott took over, is, and particularly people in leadership, none of them will go on the record, of course. They don't even want to be, you know, that's as close as I can identify it. They get to vote in the building. And it could be the east side or west side, but I'm telling you, people from both houses of the legislature told me Abbott's, he just doesn't work with them well. He doesn't know how. So if Abbott's big new leadership team he announced and all that stuff today, and they have trouble and can't get the tax cut, and it makes him look like a liar, that's really Abbott's fault because he clearly didn't work with people. But that doesn't make it right. We voted for Abbott. We want that tax cut, and we want our money back. Well, okay, so we figured, okay, half the money, and I talked to the comptroller about that. Okay, half the money may go to inflationary pressure, but that's still a huge surplus out there. Looks like the legislative budget board screwed us over. It looks like the insiders screwed us over because they don't want to proffer up a serious tax increase. A tax decrease by buying down local property taxes. That's exactly what it looks like. I don't know what else to say about it. I can understand all the, oh, we got to be careful and all that language. I get it. We have a rainy day fund for that, though. It looks to me like they've set the table so they can make the argument that the budget cap, which again, they've busted many times, and that figure they use is so movable that it's not even this the one they're using. You just wonder. It looks like dirty pool to me, and legislators are going to have to decide whether they want to go along with that and take the consequences of it or not from leadership, because it doesn't look good. Yeah, you got a massive surplus. Okay, we get it, inflation. Well, half that can go to inflationary costs. Well, what about the other half of? Oh no! We can't talk about that because we can't bust the budget cap. But y'all set the budget cap with the inflation population thing and all that. Yeah. But wait a minute, the state's grown, so the budget's going to naturally grow anyway. We've grown in population in the last 2 years. So, that's included in the 12. Yeah, but inflation is supposed to be included in that. That eats up the whole surplus. I'm just telling you, this looks like a setup. That's all I'm saying. It looks like a setup from the leadership to not deliver on any tax increases or decreases. And the way things work down there, our future and our money could be being used for something as petty as a grievance with the governor and his staff. Who knows? Now down to Senate District 27 in the Valley or in South Texas, where Republicans came 659 votes short of picking up a state Senate seat there, SD 27. It was so close. I don't blame him. Adam Hinojosa, the Republican, has asked for a recount. He'll get that. So there were a lot of hand paper ballots and stuff in certain counties. So we'll see what comes of that. Back in a moment.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to Dental Care's Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home. I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at Dental Care, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under $10,000. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem. Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually.
You can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
Do you have a skid steer? WestTexasAttachments.com. Do you need an attachment now? WestTexasAttachments.com. West Texas Attachments specializes in renting and selling skid steer attachments. Hay spike? Got it. Post driver? Got it. Grapple buckets? Got it. Attachments for every skid steer job you need. WestTexasAttachments.com can get your skid steer doing whatever you need it to. WestTexasAttachments.com, and they deliver. Go to WestTexasAttachments.com.
It's Texas that matters most on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. If you missed yesterday's show, that's the beauty of what we have now with the podcast free. You can go back and catch up. I did something I rarely do. I spent the entire show, for the most part, on one subject, and that's this diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's in our school districts. It's in our local governments. It's particularly strong in our universities and colleges, private and public. And I said, our legislators are going to have the guts to stop the critical theory, critical race theory, DEI, all this stuff that's all a part of the same Marxist canon. Are they going to have the guts to actually stop it in the next session and stop it in a way that has teeth? And I told you in the show why I was tempted to talk about that yesterday. And lo and behold, Sherry Sylvester, one of the state's premier political strategists now working at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, published a piece today. What would Gavin Newsom do? It's time to stop DEI on campus. She wrote, it's been observed that if California Governor Newsom learned that the University of California system included professors and staff who persistently engaged in pushing free market, merit-based achievement, and pro-capitalism messages, he would shut them down immediately. If he found out that the administration of state colleges and universities were almost exclusively made up of individuals whose only job is to promulgate theories of American exceptionalism, he would not hesitate to fire them all. So how is it that state universities in Republican states like Texas, because Republicans are wimps and don't fight like the left, pardon, and Texas persist in allowing taxpayer-funded universities and colleges to continue their war against the principles and ideals of entrepreneurialism and traditional values that have made our country great and Texas prosper. Left-wing thinking and crazy woke notions on race and gender are now the norm on virtually every Texas university campus. Students who have a different opinion are censored and consequently are too often afraid to speak up. Conservative professors are in constant fear of being identified and exiled. At the University of Texas and most other Texas institutions, every teaching or administrative job applicant must provide what's known as a, quote, diversity statement, end quote. Folks, that's like a pledge to the Communist Party. That's really what this stuff is. Explaining what they have done personally to further diversity in their professional career. Diversity, along with equity and inclusion, are deeply rooted American values that embody our founding belief that all people are guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. However, in the woke world of college campuses, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, have been twisted, as I explained yesterday with critical race theory and anti-racism and everything else, have been twisted, ladies and gentlemen, into code for an anti-American mindset based on the belief that racism and inequality dominate every aspect of American life, including our commerce and culture and certainly the university. And I must add what Sherry Sylvester leaves out, and that the only solution to that is more government-enforced discrimination. I mean, that's how absurd all this is. Sylvester goes on to say job applicants on Texas campuses must explain what steps they've taken and will take to make the university anti-racist. And I explained to you what that was. That's the opposite. That's racism. Job-killing climate change policies and wealth redistribution are included under this required anti-racist, anti-American rubric. Guides on writing, quote, diversity statements warn applicants that saying, I treat all students equally, will be counted against them. That's a fact, folks. Requiring diversity statements means that every applicant at our universities in the state must sign a statement affirming their commitment to what I tell you yesterday. Can't believe Sherry Sylvester was working on this. I'm sure she wrote it the previous few days too. To left-wing Marxist ideology in order to get a job at a Texas college or university. At A&M, fully 46 administrators, including deans with six-figure salaries, have the words DEI in their title. The University of Texas and Texas Tech have roughly the same number of diversity, equity, and inclusion administrators. Their job is to ensure that DEI is the framework for all curriculum and programming, keeping, and you people just keep giving them money and loyalty. You don't stand up for anything. It's going to be when they have you chained up in the concentration camps, you're just going to be looking at, well, what's wrong? I mean, I rooted for the school. I gave them some money. I don't understand why you don't realize you have to fight to keep freedom. Our own founder said, you know, the cost of liberty, it's eternal vigilance. That doesn't mean just looking. That means acting, vigilance. She writes, their job, okay, keeping campus culture and environment firmly ensconced on the far left fringe. Leadership, merit, personal achievement, and discipline are de-emphasized and discredited. Students learn about identity politics and multiculturalism with no freedom to challenge the concepts. They're taught to believe that all inequities in America are part of the legacy of slavery and cannot be overcome with ongoing efforts to ensure equal access to opportunity. The DEI regime rejects historic civil rights laws and Title IX designed to protect everyone from discrimination, instead insisting on exclusionary, should I say, discriminatory efforts in hiring and student recruitment that ignore achievement in favor of preferences based exclusively on factors like race, ethnicity, and gender, and don't kid yourself, the politics of the people. When you wonder how the environment on Texas campuses got so far off track, DEI and other left-wing ideologies on college campuses are the answer, and they continue to do it with all with the funding from us, the taxpayer. Even more importantly, these colleges and universities also train public school teachers, which is how these distorted ideas, including critical race theory, made it into public school curriculums. Remember, the Marxists openly talked about and bragged about, wrote books about, freely and openly. People just didn't want to hear it. In this country, leading American intellectuals in the teens, 20s, and 30s about how the goal was to take over the academy because the academy, meaning the university, then trains the teachers who then train the children. And yet, for years, people laughed when we talked that about that, but it's true. I mean, they openly talked about it. Sherry writes, wokeism existed for decades in college campuses, but it's now become ubiquitous in every aspect of life. The root source of wokeism is academia. It must be shut down, and to do so will require a comprehensive strategy on several fronts. The accreditation cabal, which insulates campuses against public feedback and change, must be drastically reformed. All DEI offices on the campuses of state colleges and universities must be closed, and the use of left-wing litmus tests like diversity statements must be stopped. DEI training must also be strictly prohibited. Right. But will our legislators have the guts? Too many of them seem to just want those special tickets and boxes at the football games and basketball games of the big universities. Folks, they sell out their own... I'm sorry, I've been up close with it. They sell out their own country and even things they say they believe for access to this kind of stuff. Not all of them. She says, our universities must aim to be truly inclusive, ensuring every Texas student can pursue their dreams. Discrimination against any faculty member or student based on their point of view must end. That's right, even for left-wingers. We want free expression. We don't want an unlevel playing field created to protect the speech of the left and to punish the people on the right. And yet that's what we have, and we're paying for it. She writes, university boards must challenge faculty councils and reaffirm their commitment to intellectual freedom and open inquiry. Folks, our boards of regents are a bunch of Republicans, and they're doing nothing to stop it at any of these places. Even at Texas Tech, they allow the university to build a black-only student center. Because apparently blacks can't go to the student union building, or as I call it from back in the day, the university center. Apparently they have to have their own building. It's all segregation. It's the new segregation of the left. Republican appointee regents at all these universities have allowed all this stuff, folks. No outsiders did it. The regents did it. And they're all appointees of Republican governors. Mostly all Abbott now. Some from Perry. And she goes on talking about this. She says that the lieutenant governor wants to fight it and others. Again, do they have the guts? We'll see. Big news out of Houston. The dean of the Senate, Democrat, but old-fashioned Democrat, one of the few left, State Senator John Whitmire, is putting his hat in the ring for Houston mayor's elections next November. They're term limited, and so the current guy's out. He's running. He's got a bunch of big Republican money even backing him. That'll be fun to watch. Back in a moment.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Friends, you have until Sunday, December 18th, to order desserts, rolls, and sides for Christmas dinner from Bell's Chicken Dinner House. Don't miss those great sides from Bell's. You have until Sunday, December 18th, to get your serve-at-home orders placed. Call 677-7100 for your delicious pies, cobblers, sides, and rolls, pre-baked or frozen to bake at home from Bell's Chicken Dinner House. Call now to 677-7100 or stop in to Bell's.
At Thacker, every piece of jewelry represents a moment in time worth celebrating.
But when the jewelry leaves our store, that's when the real story begins. Her engagement ring will tell the story of the loving relationship that you share.
Your wedding band tells the story of the perfect day when you two came together. I'm blessed to be in a business where every piece of jewelry that leaves our store goes on to tell a beautiful story. We hope you'll start your story with Thacker's.
If it moves in your warehouse or business with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving. Texas Battery is your source for the right battery for material handling equipment, from forklifts and scissor lifts to newer autonomous warehouse machines. If it moves with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving with the correct batteries. Rely on Texas Battery to keep your supply chain moving. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com. That's TexasBattery.com.
DOT-regulated drivers, owner-operators, line up your required random drug testing program with Allied Compliance Services. Be legal and safe up and down the road. You will be a valued customer with Allied Compliance, and they will be on call to help when you need it. Visit AlliedCompliance.com, AlliedCompliance.com, or phone 800-411-6906. Call Allied Compliance at 800-411-6906.
Don't wait until it's too late. Get your tickets now to the Pratt on Texas listener trip to the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball. Visit PrattOnTexas.com. Now, here's your host for all things True Texan, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Very glad to have with us someone who really does know all about the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball, because my understanding is that pharmacist Kelly Stovall has spent a lifetime, like so many folks, being involved with the ball. In fact, her grandparents were some of the big chieftains in the association running the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball for about half a century. And remember, this ball's been going in its present form for 100 years. It was founded in 1885. Kelly, welcome to Pratt on Texas. The Cowboys Christmas Ball, I've been having a really hard time explaining to people just what it is. You know, to some people, well, they hear it and they say, well, it's a dance. Others, it's a concert. It's really none of the, it's really all of those things and so much more. Talk about your perception of the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball.
Oh, yes. Well, thanks for having me. And for me, the Cowboys Christmas Ball is just it's special. It's just a tradition. I grew up going, as you said, my grandparents were part of the association all of my life, and just a really special time where, you know, sometimes it was the only time you'd see someone. They'd come back for the Christmas Ball just for that tradition.
And people do. I mean, people from all over. I know in one of the groups we're coming with, one of our listeners has said he's bringing a person from England. Well, there's people from all over the world who come to this, and there are people from all over, not just nearby, who make the trip every year once they've gone. You grew up as a child going, and that's one of the things I've wanted people to understand. There's just something magical to me when you walk in Pioneer Hall. And as one listener said, it's like stepping back in time to the 1920s. It's family friendly in every way. Talk about your perceptions of that.
Yes, absolutely. It is. It's just where families can come. I mean, that's where I learned to dance as a child. That's where we taught my daughter how to dance growing up. And yes, when you walk in the doors, some of the decorations stay up year round. It's just the Cowboy Christmas Ball. You walk in it and people are dressed up. It's not just your regular, you know, Saturday night dance with boots and jeans for the, you know, yes, for the guys, but for those women, they go all out. Yep. Some era clothing. It's so exciting.
Yeah, some do. And it's fun to watch. And by the way, don't let that keep you from going, because not everybody does that.
But you, absolutely
women do,
not.
Do have to That's have right. skirts on or dresses no pants on the floor for the women and no hats
for the
on
women.
The men. It's the old rules and no cussing, drinking, spitting, you know, no horses in the floor and no alcohol in there. And that's another part of this. I've tried to get people to understand that one of the things that's so unique, the music's true old-fashioned. I mean, we're talking an official living history event for Texas. The music is old-fashioned music. There are rules about that. We've talked about it. We're going to be there on Friday night with our listener groups, and that's going to be the living king of Western Swing, Jody Nix. But this is something where you see little girls and boys dressing, dancing with grandmas and grandpas and sometimes great-grandmothers and grandfathers. The generational aspect of this thing really does fit in with its original purpose, because it really was. I mean, it's a wedding feast, a holiday feast for families. When people would go from the frontier, which Anson was on the edge of, back that way for their one break a year usually to buy a few things and trade for things. And it's always maintained that. Talk about that family nature. You've already hinted at it somewhat.
Absolutely. It's it's just so special to walk in and you see these young girls, daughters and daddies and daughters and granddaddies and mamas and sons dancing and learning and being together. And you know, for me, at one time it was my daughter, myself, my mother, my grandmother, you know, all there, just as a special, special time. And families are welcome. We want to see those kids come and those families come and enjoy it. Not just for the dancing and learning, but the time spent together, but the tradition and learning about history and just embracing that part of what the Cowboy Christmas Ball is about. You know, as you walk around, you can see they have it, you know, the pictures and the of the past members. And it's just so special to see, you know, all those people that come as families and just make it a tradition. I have a friend from college that we, you know, went in college and he brings his family back. And anyway, it's just special. I can't say it enough.
And it's not just an Anson thing. I mean, it really was the region's Christmas ball. I'm very familiar with history, both historic fiction and pure history of the settling of the great Llano Estacado, in which I grew up, and all of the rolling plains beneath the Caprock. And I don't care whether it's the Smiths at the first place in this region where I live, the Smith House just off the Caprock in Crosby County, or whether it was north in the Palo Duro Canyons with the famous Goodnight folks and all of that. This is something where the cowboys and the families, they went to this. And they traveled from all over. They rode horses and came in wagons. It took them a long time. They'd stay in town a week or two. And this was the highlight of the year for them. And so it originated as a regional thing. And it's still very much that, because a lot of the folks coming are coming from, well, hours and hours away. I mean, some cases 5-6 hours come every single year and make the trip to Anson. So it's not just that little local family that you grew up in. It's really a Texas family, and even beyond Texas, a cowboy culture.
Would you say?
But it's a tradition of a culture that sadly has almost passed us by. And not even cowboy. I mean, the God and country etiquette rules. I mean, people just acting right, because we don't see that in our culture today.
We don't. And it's so important that these kids and these people see that this still happens. And
how else are they going to fix things if they don't have anything to model it on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody just visiting and just embracing the spirit, about the whole ball. And, you know, my goodness, they plan for the next year when they come. They just like, you know,
it happened to us.
Back.
I mean, we were convicted. Yes. We were convicted. And so we've stepped out on a big limb to do a charter bus to make it easy for people. We've got a lot of our Abilene area listeners coming and meeting us. We're going to have a dinner and then attend the ball on Friday the 16th. The ball runs the 15th through the 17th, 3 days as always. And Michael Martin Murphy on the first night. This is, he's had a big record with the Cowboys Christmas Ball, the great famous poem. And we're going to be there on Friday night with Jody Nix and the Texas Cowboys. We look forward to seeing Kelly Stovall and so many other folks there. Folks, get your tickets at prattontexas.com. If you can encapsulate it in a sentence, what would you tell people about the ball?
Don't miss it.
I think that's right.
Come and experience it.
One time at least.
Yes.
Then you get hooked. That's the one problem. But it is a once in a lifetime thing, and it's something everybody should do at least once, especially true Texans. Kelly Stovall, thanks for your time. We look forward to seeing you at the 2022 edition of the Texas Cowboys Christmas Ball. That's it for today. Long live Liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.